two, sipping and roasting. Yeah, that's what we do. Set them up, knock them down, make that cherry glow. Whiskey and cigars, the gentleman's cologne.
Cheers, y'all.
Sounds like a party just about to happen.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this fine radio program, podcast, and video extravaganza known internationally as the world famous Smokin' and Toastin'. Welcome to show number 377. Ian has been working on the math for this during the week, and I believe you're ready to make a report.
That brings us, well, so that's last week was almost the exact halfway point to 400.
Right.
So this brings us just a touch closer, but if you round it down, it's just halfway.
Halfway to 400. Okay, yes. Good to know. Well, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. On today's show, we've titled the program, You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Smoke Cigars. And here to talk it. With us about that right, as well as a lot of other things, is our good friend and our Smoking and Toasting legal expert, Mr. Trey Boring. Trey, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time since we had you on.
It has. My regular day job's keeping me way too busy.
Well, that's not good. We gotta spend more time doing cigars and less time doing day job.
Day job that you guys talk about?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I understand. I do want to give a big thanks to last week's special guests, Enrique Alfredo Cesar Gomez, which is only one person.
That's easy for you to say.
He's the co-founder of Petro Tierra, the Mexican spirits company, and we sampled some of their wares, and they were delicious.
They're so different and so fun.
Very cool. And our own Roberto Rivas Villar, who kind of put it all together for us. And thank you, Roberto, one of our cocktail experts here on the show, who didn't make cocktails, but he did do most of the pouring last week of the Petro Tierra. So it's good to know. Some Smoking and Toasting news. We are free from our former syndication company and are striking out on our own to do our own syndication. That's to broadcast radio. So the syndication company got us started, but then they seemed to stall a little bit and had some nefarious things going on, which we won't get into. But by and large, we are excited and happy to be free and hope to be picking up some more affiliate stations.
We're now free agents.
We are free agents, but we're hoping to be able to pick up some more affiliates here.
Call your local station and tell them I want my MTV. Smoking and Toasting.
You know, I actually had a thought about that. I want my S&T.
S&T.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we just need to get Sting to say it now.
That's right. Or sing it. I want my S&T. We're kind of excited about that, and we'll let you know how all of this goes. So a lot of things to talk about on the show today, a lot of things to taste. We will be trying, and this, I'm really excited about this because there are two cities that are known for their macro brew, St. Louis, Missouri, which is Anheuser-Busch, and Golden, Colorado, which is Coors, right? We'll be trying some good beer from those cities today.
Oh.
Some interesting beer from those cities. Some non-macro from those cities.
So we're going to try beer from those cities, but neither one of them has a Vortex bottle,
right,
or a cold activated can.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll have to go totally by your other senses other than sight to know if the beer is cold or not, because you won't be able to look for Blue Mountains.
Won't be able to see it
on the can of the bottle. From Golden, Colorado, and Holidaily Brewing Company, we'll be trying their Favorite Blonde Ale. And apparently Favorite Blonde Ale gets its name from there having been someone who was blonde who was a favorite, so they were the favorite blonde, and this is named after them, apparently. Info on the can. We'll get to that when we get to it. From Kalamazoo, Michigan, and one of Ian's favorite breweries, Bell's Brewery. We'll be trying their experimental black IPA called Change of Heart. You notice that a lot of the beers from Bell's have heart in the name.
Yes.
You know, two-hearted or what have you. This is Change of Heart, experimental black IPA. So excited to try that. And then from an old favorite from St. Louis, Missouri, no, it's not Anheuser-Busch. They have no Clydesdales. This is Perennial Artisan Ales.
Oh, Perennial.
We'll be trying an Imperial Stout that takes its name from, well, I prefer to think it takes its name from one of the greatest albums of all time. The beer is called Abraxas.
Oh, and
Abraxas,
I love it. God, is a great album.
Santana
yes.
album. So,
my goodness.
So we'll get to that. And then Ian's brought some some whiskey from his collection. We'll be trying Ian's Still Austin this limited release cask strength
bourbon. Yes, single barrel cask strength. So,
and that's from Austin, Texas. So very excited.
And this one you can't buy local. You have to get this from the actual distillery. So I had a friend of mine go pick it up.
Oh.
And it was funny because I called him. I said, hey, man, there's a distillery not far from your house. He's like, oh, yeah, send me an address. So I sent it to him. When he called me back, he said, yeah, I picked up your bottle. Turns out I've been drunk there quite a few times.
Well, it's good to know.
So thank you, Sam, for that.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. And we'll be appreciating it even more, I have a feeling, once we crack that seal and get into that bad boy. We will bring you some cigars to watch for. I don't know how much we'll have time to get to today. We've been promising for like 4 weeks that we were going to tell you about which baseball parks, which Major League Baseball parks, have the best craft beer selection and which are the best baseball parks for craft beer.
We haven't gotten to that yet because their shows have been so damn interesting.
I know. Well, let's hope that's why. I think it's because we were farting around. That's probably why. we'll see about that. And we will, of course, be bringing you drinking news. It's the most popular segment on this program. God knows why, but it is. And we'll give you right now today's drinking news teaser headline, which is... Be fruitful and multiply. So we'll get to that all coming up.
You said fruitful. Don't be fruit fly and multiply.
Yeah, right. That's no, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. we'll see what all we get to. I've got so many other things we can talk about, but we definitely want to spend some time talking about where things stand in the legal spectrum in terms of cigars. There's been so many things that have come out that look like good news.
That's
been things that come out.
Name where things stand in legal land.
Oh, I like that. We'll get to that segment in just a little bit. And not only is Trey Boring, our special guest today, a good guy to talk to about those legal things because of your participation in Cigar Rights of America, but you also are a part of another really important organization, and I love being able to talk about it because I think it's such an awesome thing that this group does, and that's the Cigars for Warriors program. So how are things going at Cigars for Warriors? This is where just, the thumbnail on this is these guys collect cigars that people like Ian or I or anybody else buy and donate, and then those cigars are sent to U.S. servicemen and women who are posted across the globe. And may or may not be in a position where they can go out and buy cigars.
If you're in your local cigar shop and you see a little bin that says CFW or Cigars for Warriors that has a bunch of cigars in it, just when you go in the humidor, buy one extra cigar, toss it in there, or buy 20 extra cigars and toss it in there.
But absolutely.
I always try to buy at least one extra cigar and toss it in there, and just because, I think that's a great cause.
Well, these are people who are, putting potentially their lives on the line for us. And the least we can do is get him a cigar.
Oh, yeah.
The least we can do. So how are things at Cigars for Warriors?
Well, we are starting our 12th year as a charity, official 501c3 charity, so it's a legal charity. Every cigar you purchase and donate, you can write off on your taxes. Just like you gave me money. It's the same principle.
Nice.
But we've been, doing it for 12 years. We just cracked our 1.6 millionth cigar shipped to servicemen and women deployed in combat zones and what we lovingly call crummy deployment areas. As you mentioned, these are folks that are in places we don't want to be.
Yeah. Right.
And they're protecting our freedom. And the least we can do is send them a package that has a little bit of home to it. Mm-hmm. Something they can sit down and relax and just,
So coming from a military family, both my brothers are vets. My dad was a vet. There's a lot of sitting around and doing nothing before it gets real exciting. You don't really want it to be real exciting.
No, you don't.
But there's a lot of sitting around doing nothing. So this those little things, movies and things like that, and cigars that can alleviate a little bit of boredom and give you a happy spot for a little while. That's golden.
One of the things I love about it is you can keep it completely devoid of politics. It's not about liberal or conservative. It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about people who are potentially putting their lives on the line. At the very least, they're in a place, as Trey said, that we don't want to be.
Yeah.
And we're just supporting the fact that they're doing that for us. Mm-hmm. And it's part of their service to the country. And obviously not everybody smokes cigars. But if you are a soldier and you're stationed in a lot of these places, you may not have a place you could even go and buy cigars.
Correct.
That you could, you know, leave the base and go to. So you're kind of just stuck. And so, as you said, Ian, to be able to give them an hour of being able to go to a happy place with mm-hmm. a cigar is the least that we can do. And what did you say? How many cigars?
1.6 million. I'll tell you right now what's funny is when we had the Afghan drawdown, mm-hmm. everybody said, are you going to have soldiers to send cigars to? I said, you know, we have people in more places than Afghanistan.
Right.
And right now we've got NATO deployments in Poland that are forward deployed. They can't leave the base.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. We've got more naval groups on patrol right now than we've had in probably the last 5-10 years. And so those folks on long-term deployments on ships, they get cigars from us.
And with all of the, you know, tension and what's going on in the Middle East, you got to figure we've got more people in place there on mm-hmm. at the ready should the United States be called on to do whatever. So it's a really important thing, and I don't know. It's one of those things that just makes you feel good when you buy that cigar and toss it into that box or that maybe a box of cigars, whatever you do. It just makes you feel good to do that. And know that somebody else is going to enjoy that, you know? It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. So thank you for your involvement in that and for what your entire organization is doing. Speaking of cigars, Ian, I wonder if you've had the opportunity to smoke anything interesting. We got a couple of minutes so in the segment, so I don't know if you got time to go through that or not. Hate to make you speed read.
It's funny you should ask. No, I should have enough time. I stopped by Casa today. Said hi to the gang over there and wandered around the humidor. I decided to pick up an Asylum Insidious Maduro. Ooh,
nice.
Have you had one of these?
I don't think I've had Insidious.
You've had this? Yeah. So this is a 6x52. Does that make it a Toro, I believe? With a Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, Honduras binder, Honduras filler. The appearance on this medium brown wrapper with some veins, oily and smooth overall, medium firmness with some soft spots, and a single band on there that looks really cool because it's Asylum, mm-hmm. right? So they always have cool looking bands. The pre-light sniff on this, I got sweet fermented hay, barnyard, hints of mocha and coffee. I used a V-cut on this for the pre-light draw. It had a very easy draw, a sweet tip on it. I was not expecting it. I had no idea it had a sweet tip. Creamy and sweet overall, raisin bread, mocha, coffee is what I got just off the pre-light draw. So really nice start to this. The initial light on this, sweet and spicy with massive smoke. Retro hay was peppery and campfire. When I say massive smoke, it's one of those where when you take one puff, it's just this big
explosion of smoke.
Like, you're not struggling to get any smoke out of this cigar, that's for sure. The first third on this, sweet, creamy coffee and earth with mocha and raisin bread. I know I said that before, but that's what came right out. Sweet tip adds interest along with a lingering bit of cayenne in the back of the palate. The retrohale is sweet and spicy with cedar, solid ash, perfect burn. The second third of this, more of the same. Retrohale is sweet and spicy with cedar, solid ash, good burn. The last third of this, slightly tangy note develops and displaces some of the pepper spiciness, in essence, making the cigar a little bit sweeter, actually.
Yeah.
And even though this is a very solidly medium cigar, the retrohale is sweet and spicy with cedar, solid ash, perfect burn, coming in at $8.36. I gave it a solid 6. Buy this cigar and enjoy it.
Nice. All right. Well, you did. What was it called? The
Asylum Insidious.
You did Insidious. I did Illicit, and we'll get to that up. Plus, we'll also do the Beverage of Mystery next.
Beverage of Mystery.
Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, hand rolled cigars.
I love those
stuff
things.
Like that, and. We are here to enjoy and talk about all of those on this program. Our guest today is our Smoking and Toasting legal expert, Trey Boring. We'll be talking about cigar laws and where those have gone and where they are headed. And Trey will kind of give us the very latest on that. But it's time first. We usually do this in the first segment, and we got to talking about other things. So now we'll do it in this one. It's time for what we like to call here at Smoking and Toasting,
the Beverage of Mystery.
By the way, that Beverage of Mystery music, It's called The Visitor. It's by Shane Ivers. You can find it at chosic.com should you need some scary music for your Halloween stuff or whatever. The Beverage of Mystery is where one of us will bring...
or for your Beverage of Mystery.
For your Beverage
of
Mystery.
Need a scary song for that.
That's right.
Sometimes it's scary.
The Beverage of Mystery is where one of us will bring in a beverage. The person who what brung it is the only person that knows what it is. And we... You know, we smell it, we taste it, and then we give our thoughts on it before revealing what the Beverage of Mystery is. And I brought today's Beverage of Mystery, so I have the empty can of the Beverage of Mystery in my pocket. Which
I
of
thought
course,
you were happy to see
yeah,
us.
Yeah, which of course raises that. So, no, it's the Beverage of Mystery. So you've already taken a little bit of a sniff?
I've been nosing it a little bit. I'm not sure that I really like the nose on it.
Yeah.
It has a kind of a overripe berry or...
Tell me what you think.
Vegetal kind of thing going on. Let's see.
Like dates or raisin type?
It's a cider of some sort.
It does have a ciderish quality to it, doesn't it?
Definitely a cider of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's bad.
No. It tastes better than it smells, that's for sure. It almost has a cranberry.
We seem to have that.
It's a cranberry kind of thing going on.
Yeah. We seem to have that happen a lot with the Beverage of Mystery, where it actually tastes better than it smells. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
We do say that reasonably often.
It's been a common theme, yeah.
It's a little sour, too. It's like a...
It does.
It's like
a cherry sour.
It's like a cranberry sour cider of some sort.
Yeah.
Well, I will reveal the Beverage of Mystery. It is from Bishop Cider, and it's called Crackberry.
Crackberry.
Well, right,
crackberry.
Then.
Berry
so
brawl.
I also feel like there's a little of a little currant in there.
It's 6%. Yeah, you can taste
it's
a little bit of black currant, can you?
And sweet, it says blackberry.
Mm-hmm.
Cranberry. Okay, well, I got that.
Yep.
So we got those ingredients, hard apple cider, water, cranberry juice concentrate, apple juice concentrate.
Mm-hmm. So you do get the
blackberry
apple.
Blackberry juice
and apple.
Yeah.
I think if you're a sour fan or if you're a cider fan, this would be okay if you like these flavors.
Yeah. How do you feel, Ian, about the artificial sweetener taste? Is it not too bad on this?
I don't get a ton of it.
Yeah.
It leaves a little more bitter, but not in a bad way. It leaves a little more bitter on the aftertaste than I get any artificial sweetener.
I just like the name.
I've had there's a place in town called Cidercade that also you can buy some of their ciders around.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because you pay like a nominal fee and then you go in and play like all these arcade games.
Nice.
It's a huge area full of arcade games.
Love that.
And they're all open to play, you know. So, they make one that's a little bit like this that has a little, that has that cranberry and kind of a black currant kind of flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I usually drink when I'm there. This reminds me a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I'm still not really happy with the nose, but the flavor of this is okay.
Well, while you're enjoying the rest of that, let me tell you about the cigar that I smoked and want to share with you this week. I smoked the Alec Bradley Black Market Illicit Toro.
The Illicit.
So you did the...
Insidious.
Insidious, and I did the Illicit. The Alec Bradley Illicit's a good example
of
something...
It just sounds like a bunch of metal bands.
I know, right? It does. The Alec Bradley Illicit's a good example of something that comes out for a limited release, winds up being extraordinarily popular. So the company looks at that and says, okay, we get the message.
Yeah, yeah.
And they come back with a wide release of the same cigar. Of course, in order to do that, there has to be enough of the right tobacco, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in this case, all of the details came together. And although it took a little while, the Black Market Illicit is now not so difficult to find. The Illicit features a Nicaraguan wrapper, Honduran and Nicaraguan binders, and fillers that have been described as from small-yield farms in Nicaragua. And it's interesting because a lot of Alec Bradley cigars are not Nicaraguan tobacco.
Right.
So this is kind of a one-off.
An
exception for them. The pre-light sniff and the cold draw in particular gave me notes of oak, hay, and dried fruit, almost like a dried black cherry sort of a note. I used a punch, took off the long band, which covered most of the cigar. Alec Bradley's kind of known for that on some of their cigars. And I lit this baby up. First thing to report, despite a Nicaraguan wrapper and fillers, I did not get a Nicaraguan pepper blast. A Nicaraguan pepper breeze at the most, maybe not even that.
Maybe a Nicaraguan pepper waft.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. As if someone took a fan, you know, a handheld fan and just went one time.
Yeah.
But as the cigar settled in, I did start to pick up pepper on the palate. There was also earth and a hint of dark cocoa. Definitely a different flavor profile from other Alec Bradley cigars. But then not too many of Bradley's other blends use as much Nicaraguan tobacco, as I mentioned. So the most consistent note, though, and the one that lasted for pretty much the whole cigar, was the same dried black cherry that I picked up on the pre-light. As the dominant note in the flavor profile, it would come and go, but it never disappeared. The burn stayed consistently beautiful throughout all of the first third, and by the time I hit the second, the notes of oak and now also of cedar began to really show themselves. Black cherry continued, and the pepper, which by this time was really lighting up the tang on my tongue, even though it wasn't the dominant note, it was definitely there. Final third, more wood, more pepper, more black cherry. I'm pretty sure I picked up a note of toasted almonds. Overall, very savory, very delicious. While nothing about the cigar was overwhelming or super daring or illicit, like the name, it was a very enjoyable smoke that hit enough of my favorite notes while bringing something a little bit different to the table. A nice variation on what Nicaraguan tobacco can do. The construction was great throughout, by the way. The Alec Bradley Black Market Illicit Toro is a $10 cigar. In my mind, it stands up to its price pretty darn well, so I recommend it. Price to quality, a solid 5.
Solid 5. For those of you who don't know our price to quality scale, it's a scale of 1 to 10, and if you get a 5, you get exactly what you pay for. If you're putting above a 5, you're punching a little above a price point and vice versa.
So you gave your cigar a 6.
I did.
Which means, you know,
it's an $8 and 30-something cent cigar. And it was really, really enjoyable all the way through. If I'd have paid $10, even $11 for it, I would have been just fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, if this had been an $8 cigar, I would have given it more than a 5. So, yeah. But at $10, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, and while my cigar wasn't entirely complex, it was really good at what it did.
We'll get into some beverage tasting coming up in the next couple of segments here. And we mentioned the Holidaily Brewing Company's Favorite Blonde Ale. Bell's Brewery's Change of Heart Experimental Black IPA, and then from Perennial Artisan Ales, the Abraxas Imperial Stout, which is going to be very interesting. It is a huge bomber, so I hope you guys are thirsty.
Challenge accepted, sir.
And then Ian brought the whiskey today from Still Austin. Have you been to Still Austin?
No, I haven't actually, but so Still Austin's been crushing it.
Yeah,
like they're a young company. They're making young whiskey and still delicious.
I think that's challenging because if you think about it, most of the time when you've got a distillery, you know, they're blending other people's whiskeys so they have something to sell their juice ages.
This is distilled in Austin. This is not a GMP product or anything that they're aging. This is distilled in Austin, and it says on the bottle at least 4 years old. So we're talking about a little bit of a young whiskey here.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see. This is a barrel pick. They do this once a month where they have Nancy Fraley as their master blender, and she picks a barrel. Mm-hmm. And once a month, and they bottle it, and it's just a barrel that's interesting to her out of what they have. Yeah. So.
Wow, what a cool job.
Yeah, like that's cool. And I picked this one up. A friend of mine told me it was exceptionally good. So I had my friend in Austin go pick it up. And so we're going to try that out today. I haven't even opened it yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, you haven't even tried this, so this will be a first time.
But they're standard fare. Like, when you go into the store around here and you get their Still Austin that you can pick up at Specs or wherever they have the distribution, is really quite good. And it is young, but it is really quite good.
Well, I'm looking forward to trying that and trying the other things. And, of course, in our next segment, we'll not only start the tasting, but we'll start talking a little bit about where things are in the legal fight for and against premium cigars. It seems like the governmental agencies keep wanting to lump us in with machine-made cigars and cigarettes in terms
and vape and everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we'll see where that stands, because we've reported on a lot of it here. But I'm really confused as to whether things are getting better or getting worser. So is worser a word?
Worser, it is now.
It is now.
Shakespeare can make up words. You can, too.
All right. It works for me. We will take a break and be right back and taste a little Favorite Blonde Ale. It's Smoking and Toasted. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our program is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. And welcome back as we do show number 377, which is pretty pretty cool number there. And
we're
as,
getting there, man.
As Ian pointed out, halfway to 400. Mm-hmm. So it's good to know. All right, Ian, while you open the beer, I'm going to do this story right now. Because that way we won't pass it off for another week.
We can't forget
right?
about it.
Yeah. It is a listing of 30 baseball stadiums, Major League Baseball stadiums from around the country, and which ones have the best or worst beer. Coming in at number 30, couldn't be happier about this. Bottom of the list, Yankee Stadium in New York. They're notorious for having the worst beer selection in all of Major League Baseball. And unfortunately, according to this article, the reputation is entirely deserved. Despite being located, they say, in one of the best beer cities in the country, the home of the Bronx Bombers barely offers any local options, save for a few brews from Bronx Brewing and Blue Point. Good luck, though, they say, finding them. For the most part, it's overpriced macro brews as far as the eye can see.
You know, that's macro brews closing them out, too. Yeah, that's exactly macro brews, what it brews is. Saying, no, we have all this retail space, so you can't have us.
At number 29, Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, they say there's a decent amount of good craft beer options at Dodger Stadium, but there's not a whole lot of variety. At number 28, Rogers Center, which is the home of the Toronto Blue Jays, they say they deserve some credit for finally expanding their beer selection, but, you know, no craft beers were available in the ballpark at all until as recently as 3 years ago. Citi Field in New York, the New York Mets play there. They're number 27 on the list. At number 26, my old stomping grounds, Fenway Park in Boston. It's the oldest ballpark in all of Major League Baseball. That's generally a big selling point, but it's a bit of a handicap, they say, when it comes to the amount of room to add new beer stands and new brands. Texas Rangers in at number 25 for Globe Life Field. And that's kind of sad because there's some good craft beer in Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, there really is in the whole Dallas-Fort Worth area. Marlins Park is 24. The Miami Marlins. Chase Field, where the Arizona Diamondbacks play, is 23rd. PNC Park with the Pittsburgh Pirates is 22. Wrigley Field with the Chicago Cubs is number 21. And that's wrong for that to be so low.
At PNC, though, you're definitely going to get some Yingling.
Well, that's true.
And that ain't terrible.
That helps. That definitely helps. But why is Wrigley Field, Chicago Cubs home base, why is that so far down the list? Chicago is a great beer city. Yeah. I mean, it really is. Truist Park, where the Atlanta Braves play, is 20 on the list. Angel Stadium, where Los Angeles Angels play, is 19. And then we get to Citizens Bank Park, where the Philadelphia Phillies play. Now, there you'll get some Yingling for sure.
Yeah.
And Philly, I lived in Philly
maybe
for a while.
Maybe even some Straubs.
And if you're lucky, maybe even some Victory, because Victory is from Downingtown, which is not that far from Philadelphia. Busch Stadium, the home of the St. Louis Cardinals, despite being named after Anheuser Busch, is number 17 on the list. And they say in the article, you'd be forgiven for assuming that given its name, it'd be dominated by macro brews. You're not completely wrong, but you are also always, despite the fact you're always in the vicinity of a Bud when you're watching the Cardinals play there, there are some other good craft offerings there, including Second Shift, Shafley, and Urban Chestnut beers showing up in the park. And number 16 is where our baseball team lands on the list, Minute Maid Park, home of the Houston Astros. I was fairly pleased with the beer selection there, but that's mostly because my seats were not far from the St. Arnold bar.
So me and my wife went to a game a week and a half ago.
Yep.
And we enjoyed it. And you can get St. Arnold local. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can get it in a bunch of different places. It's not cheap, but you can get the big glass, you know, the 24-ounce cup, and it's not cheap. And even we were up there in the nosebleeds. Like, I could pretty much see my house from where we were sitting.
Yeah.
And
it was easier to see your house than the players, right?
Right. They're about the same size at that point. But but even up there, even in the nosebleeds, you know, when you walk down that long aisle of stairs and then you go out to the promenade where you can buy beer and stuff, they had St. Arnold in a few booths right there.
Right.
So it was,
and it's worth mentioning also that Carbach, the macro craft, is readily available.
It's pretty prevalent. Well, they have Crawford Bach, which is
Astros-sponsored beer.
Astros-sponsored beer. So, yeah,
so.
And it's drinkable. I definitely prefer a lot of other beers other than that, but it's definitely drinkable.
Colorado Rockies play at Coors Field. That's 15 on the list. The Baltimore Orioles in Camden Yards is 14th. And then Nationals Park, where the Washington Nationals play, is 13th. I've seen a game there, and I seem to remember some pretty good beer selections available, although it's been several years. The Oakland A's play at Oakland Coliseum. That's 12th. The Tampa Bay Rays play at Tropicana Field, and apparently you can get more than just orange juice there.
So, nice.
They also get screwdrivers. They have the Cigar City Highlight IPA available on draft there.
All which the Cigar is City stuff is
really,
so good.
Really awesome. Comerica Park is 10th. That's where the Detroit Tigers play. American Family Field, where the Brewers play, Milwaukee Brewers. So that's interesting that of all the macro beer cities, it looks like Milwaukee, which is where Miller is located, they have one of the best selections of craft. And they also have a Leinenkugel's Barrel Yard Tap Room overlooking left field there. So that's kind of cool. Target Field with the Minnesota Twins at 8. Progressive Field with the Cleveland Guardians, who used to be something else. They're at number 7. Great American Ballpark is where the Cincinnati Reds play. And that's number 6 on the list. So now we're into the top 5. Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City Royals at 5. Oracle Park, San Francisco Giants at 4. Guaranteed Rate Field, which is the worst name for a baseball park.
That is a terrible name.
Ever. The Chicago White Sox play there. So now, unlike the where the Chicago Cubs play, this stadium has tapped into craft beer, which is good because they needed to do something to overcome that horrible name.
That's enough to make me more of a White Sox fan than a Cubs fan.
I don't know how I feel about this one. How would you feel if your baseball team played at Petco Park?
Petco Park.
Yeah, that's where the San Diego Padres play. But it's number 2 on the list in San Diego, home to some amazing breweries. And so it's good to see that they're taking advantage of that. And it probably will not surprise you that the number 1 Major League Baseball stadium on this list for craft beer is T-Mobile Park, which is where the Seattle Mariners play, because Seattle is such a hub for craft beer and all of Washington State. So, all right. That's for everybody that I've been promising I was going to do that for the last 6 weeks. We've taken care of it, and we've got some beer poured now to taste, as a matter of fact.
So, yeah, we're having the Holidaily Brewing Company from Golden, Colorado. Mm-hmm. Favorite blonde ale craft beer, and guess what? Gluten-free.
Gluten-free. And does gluten-free. It say where the name comes from, Favorite Blonde?
Well, it says Favorite Blonde Ale. Grandpa was an optometrist who called his granddaughter and Holidaily founder his favorite blonde, inspired by the man who helped others see the value of good time. Our blonde ale has a subtle hop character and mellow malt flavor. Holidaily Brewing Company.
So right. Not Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, well, it feels a little less seedy now than we know that it was his
100% gluten-free and vegan ingredients. Water, millet, buckwheat, yeast, and hops.
This is pretty good, I think. It's very crisp.
It actually is a pretty good beer. It's. I don't think it has a lot of... a lot of depth to it, but it's not pretty big, pretty solid flavor,
but it's very thirst quenching,
very summery beer,
and very crisp on the palate.
It's incredibly pale too. Look at the color of it.
That's straw colored pale.
Yeah, that is like light straw colored pale ale.
You almost wonder, does it say what the ABV is on
it? It does 5%.
5%, and I'm wondering if it it's gluten free and
all that. Gluten free, woman owned.
That's kind of cool.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's pretty much all the information. I think the favorite blonde is the woman owner.
Right.
Women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects.
I think it's probably appropriate that they put that on there with it being woman owned and what have you.
But no, it's a solid beer. And on the light side, this would be pretty. I bet this is pretty good right out of the draft.
Right out of the tap, yeah. Extremely crushable. That's for
there's
sure.
there's a bread kind of. Biscuity kind of note to it as well.
My take on it is there's not a lot of flavor to it on the palate while you're drinking, but the finish leaves a very nice flavor.
I can go with that.
On the palate, which is really, really pretty cool. So I think that's quaffable, as they say.
Quaffable. There's more.
You can quaff. I'll quaff some more. Our guest today is Trey Boring. Trey is many things. He's a lover of good spirits and beers. He's a lover of cigars. He's our representative we love to talk to from Cigars for Warriors. And he's also a guy who is in the middle of the whole legal battle over cigars, premium cigars specifically, because of his involvement with Cigar Rights of America. So, Trey, first of all, explain what Cigar Rights of America is and does, and then give us a sense of where things stand now and whether we're better off than we were the last time we had you on and talked about this, or whether things have gone the wrong way.
Perfect. Well, Cigar Rights of America is very simple. It is a consumer-driven organization, very much like others that are out there, which allows cigar smokers, consumers, us, mm-hmm. you know, regular folks, to participate in the fight that the manufacturers are doing
right.
to protect our right to smoke.
Mm-hmm. So guys like Rocky Patel, for example, very
sits
active
on the board.
On this.
Yes. Sits on our board. So with Cigar Rights of America, we have ambassadors, of which I'm one. In fact, I think I'm like ambassador number 20. I've been around so mm-hmm. long. But, you know, we work with local cigar shops. We work with the national organization just to make sure everybody's informed. And we try to generate support because membership is key. And I will tell anybody out there that likes to smoke cigars, you need to join Cigar Rights of America because it is your spot as a cigar smoker where you can contribute to the fight. Okay. And you can stay involved. And plus, anything political, obviously, the more members that CRA has, the more
clout you have.
Clout you have when you sit there with a congressman. So,
what's involved in becoming a member?
So, if you go to Cigar Rights of America, you can find them on your web search. The membership is nominal. It's, you know, generally you can buy 1, 3, 5 years, just like any mm-hmm. other politically driven, you know, grassroots organization. But you can do it there, or you can find them generally at one of your favorite cigar festivals. If you're at one of those, they're usually there. But the idea is to be a member. They have, just like the gun rights organizations and other organizations, they have political defense funds mm-hmm. and legal defense funds and things that you can donate. And I always say, is it just spend your money where your palate is, right?
Yeah.
If you enjoy sitting at your local cigar shop smoking cigars, you have to be a member.
Yeah.
And as we look at this, I will tell you real quick that we had a great victory. We're just there closing out 2023, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had this wonderful victory where the federal judge looked at the FDA after they put in their deeming regulations, which were very restrictive, you know, lumped us all in, as you mentioned earlier, with cigarettes and everybody else.
And this was the restrictions that was going to require like a third of the packaging to be mm-hmm. warning labels.
Warning labels and everything. So we won that fight. And legally, and I say we because CRA participated with all the manufacturing organizations to do it, but we won that. And so what happened is all those deeming regulations went to the side. So right now we are not under any of those. The cigar industry has been told by the federal judge the FDA didn't do it right. You're free and clear.
And I know there were some cigar companies that were already preparing packaging.
Oh, yeah.
Because it looked like we were not going to be able to dodge this for a while.
Absolutely. But the interesting part for me is it's a double benefit because we do have manufacturers now that can donate cigars to Cigars for Warriors. And many of them, since the window opened, have started sending us cigars.
Right, because that was going to be
a
problem too.
Right.
Yes,
it was under the deeming.
I could do it. Ian could do it. But a manufacturer of a
manufacturer
cigar
couldn't. Right. So
that's so cool.
It's been really interesting to see. I know we've got the appeal. In fact, the trade lawyers have just responded to the appeal, basically saying they didn't think that the FDA proved their case. Their appeal from the FDA was basically the judge is wrong. That was it.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot of answer to the specific elements that the judge put out there.
How long and how often can stuff like this be appealed? Because I remember when the
years
judgment came out.
Going on.
But when the judgment came out, I'm like, okay, this is it. We're done now. It's over. But, of course, there's an appeal, so it's not. If the appeal is unsuccessful, does it end then?
No, because right now the FDA can take back all of the information they were given and basically redo the deeming regs to answer what the judge said they didn't do correctly the first time.
Wow.
And so they can still do it because they still have the authority of Congress. So
in other words, you need to join Cigar Rights of America. You really do, because this is a serious fight. And despite the fact that we finally got some good news, I remember we were so excited on that show when we got to share that there was finally good news. Despite that fact, this is nowhere near over.
No.
And they're going to be fighting it for a long time to come. All right, in one of the next segments, I want to find out a little bit more about what Cigar Rights of America actually does. Do you employ lobbyists? Do you fight these things in actual court battles? I know, you know, we mentioned Rocky Patel, and there are others that are hugely vocal about this and are have even appeared in front of Congress and things like that. So we'll let you tell us a little bit about that. Plus, Drinking News is still on the way. We have more to taste and sample. And up next is the experimental black IPA from Bell's Brewery called Change of Heart. I'm really excited about this one. So
that sounds delicious.
We'll get to it next. It's Smoking and Toasting. Welcome back. My good friend Rob on guitar there. We are Smoking and Toasting. We're all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars, which you can probably figure out by the sound effects, which Ian creates live here in the studio, by the way. There are no these sound effects. We do have a recording of the Beverage of Mystery music, but we don't necessarily have a recording of you know, sound effects for
no, we actually have to open a beer every time we want the sound of opening a beer.
Right.
So it's a sacrifice, but we do it for the art.
I award or reward your professionalism.
Yeah,
I just think we appreciate that. That's great.
Yeah, we appreciate that. There are some shows that when it's time to have a beer, they'll play that beer sound effect, but not here.
See, but the only way to really reward your professionalship is reward it with the beer that you just cracked
Agreed.
Open.
Thank you, Terry, for pointing that out.
Well, no beer left behind.
Yeah, and we feel that way here at Smoking and Toasting. So Bell's Brewery is, and Ian has had some familiarity with Michigan breweries because you've got relatives in Michigan,
yeah,
correct?
I have. Actually, my parents were both from Michigan, so okay. I have quite a bit of family up in the Michigan area.
And so you've been up to visit them and I'm sure enjoyed some Michigan brews. Mm-hmm. So were you aware of Bell's before they became available to us here in Texas, which happened a few years ago?
So anytime I traveled up north, I would buy a few cases of Bell's.
Oh, nice.
And sometimes the mini kegs. They always had the Oberon and the mini kegs.
Oh, that Oberon is so good,
too. It's one of the better on the wheat. I'm not usually a wheat,
ale,
but that's particularly good. So I would buy up a few of those and a few cases, especially of the Two-Hearted Ale.
The Two-Hearted is a sort of a traditional IPA.
Yeah,
Then they also have a hazy that is just, I think it's hazy.
So this is way before they did the hazy. And so I would always pick up a few cases of it and bring it back with me if I was driving. Always been a fan of the Bell's stuff.
Well, I recently bought a Bell's IPA mix pack, and this was one of the four IPAs.
We didn't even get Bell's until, what, about 4 years ago?
Yeah, maybe five at the most. I want to say that's right.
So,
And so this mix pack had the hazy, it had the regular Bell's, and then it had, I forget what the other one was, and it had this, which I'd never seen before. So I definitely pulled one of these out of the pack and said, got to bring this into the show.
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of information on here. This is Change of Heart Experimental Black IPA. And boy, look at the color on
and
that.
And I assume, by the way, since it's experimental, this is probably something that's only available for a limited time. And
it might be something that's only available in that particular mix pack, too.
That would be my guess. I have not seen it outside of
coming
that.
Coming in at 7% ABV.
It's wonderfully dark. It doesn't have the same thickness and viscosity as some of the darker, Imperial Stouts and things that we've had. But it has the same amount of I can't see anything through it that those do. You know what I mean?
I love this. This is delicious.
Yeah. All right, let's give it a try.
Mm. You know, when you can hold it up to these bright lights.
This is almost like a coffee IPA. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a coffee IPA?
No, I think they just invented it.
I think they just did. Now, Trey, I know you're not an IPA guy. How does this strike you?
You know, what's funny is the traditional hoppiness of an IPA tends to not be my palate.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This right here has enough of that richer flavor that I would expect out of a stout or something.
It's got some maltiness to it, for sure.
It doesn't taste like a stout. I'm not saying that.
But it has that. It has a little bit of coffee profile. Yeah. And it comes, I think, from the burnt caramel kind of flavor that happens right up front.
It's kind of delicious.
I really like that. It's really good.
It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. this is an IPA I could now tell my buddies who laugh at me because I don't like IPA. Yeah. I'm like, you know, what are you, a sissy? Yeah, probably.
The hoppiness on this, though, isn't resinous either. It's it's a very crispy and a very bitter hop, but it has a snap to it and it leaves your mouth.
Bitter in a coffee way, though, not in a resin hop sort of way.
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
I don't know that they were trying to make it tastes like coffee, but it is delicious in the best way.
It really is. It's totally working for me. I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. I do. Now, I'm an IPA guy. I like them of all stripes. I like the really hoppy ones, unless they just get ridiculous, and there are a few.
I find...
But I love the hazies. I love the juicies, but this is a variation that's unlike most of the IPAs mm-hmm. that I've ever tried.
Right, right. So this, there's a little bit of the profile on here. I don't know if you remember Shiner. We have a brewery here in Texas located in Shiner, and they made what they called a Bohemian Black Lager.
Right, that's a lager.
This has a little bit of that kind of taste, that same profile, especially right up front with a very different finish. Yeah.
I love Shiner Black, though. Is that something that's available year-round?
I think they just re-released it, actually.
I'm going to have to pick some of that up.
That was out for a while. They had a series they were doing every year leading up to their 100th anniversary. Yeah. So I think the Bohemian Black Lager was 98 or 99.
That's so cool.
Was the number mm-hmm. on the bottle. And I remember that, and they just re-released it, but it has this kind of profile right up front, that very burnt caramel coffee kind of thing going on. And mm-hmm. then that one finishes very different. This one finishes more like an IPA.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You get a mm-hmm. little bit of that hop finish, just a tiny touch of it on the finish.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, for sure. Well, Trey Boring is our guest on Smoking and Toasting today. We've had Trey on the show a number of times, and he gets invited back because he's pretty fun to drink with. But he's also the guy that sort of serves as our legal expert. So we were talking in the last segment about where things stand now with cigar rights, the fact that we won a major victory when the judge set aside premium cigars from these restrictions that the FDA is imposing. That's now being appealed. What does Cigar Rights of America do now? It's been set aside by the judge. That thing is on appeal. So what does CRA do now to try to set us up the best we can be for whatever the next thing is?
Well, and in that avenue, it is the money that we get from memberships and then people wanting to donate to the Legal Defense Fund.
And by the way, I'd just like to point out, Ian joined during the break.
I did. It was very easy, very quick and easy. Yeah. It's something that, we've talked and you're always like, join. And I'm like, yes, I should. And I forget about it. And it's one of those things where I just was like, if I don't do this now, I'll just forget about it again. So right. I'm doing it right now. So I just signed up for it.
So it was quick and easy. Let that be a lesson to you if you're listening to the show. Sign up right now.
It was $25 online for a one-year membership.
1 year membership. Yeah. That's it. But
anyway.
So the money goes to the legal process. And mm-hmm. with the legal process, we're lumped in as CRA with everybody else, you know, the big trade organizations,
right.
Where the manufacturers and retailers are all part of. But we do so much more. You'll see when you're a member, you'll get notifications. We'll have state battles. And for years, I was the point person for our state battle here in Texas mm-hmm. because we had a couple of what I lovingly call soccer moms. I think they've now named them Karens, but we had a couple of those in the state legislature who wanted a statewide smoking ban, and we rallied all of our wonderful members here in Texas to respond to their congressman, their state representative and their senator, mm-hmm. and we fought back on a statewide smoking ban. So there's that grassroots level that CRA does at the local state level, and you'll keep up with those. They'll let you know. And when it's in your area, you understand it's now time to be involved. It's just like any other grassroots.
It gets a little close to home.
Yes.
You know, what's interesting to me to point out, too, is that sometimes we think that things at the federal level, it's like you can write your congressman all you want. You're not going to have that kind of an impact. And that might be true to some degree. I'm not saying don't do it. But at the state level, at the local level, those letters, those responses that you give, I think matter a lot more.
Oh,
because these are people who are relying on us to reelect them.
Right.
And they have to listen to their constituents, even if some of them may feel one way and some of them may feel another. If you don't get out there and try to speak to these representatives and write to them and share your point of view, you can be sure that the other side is doing that.
Oh, then they get free reign pretty much,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So that's why it's important to speak up. It's very easy, I think, to pick on smokers. Yeah. I mean, we all know that underage smoking is a bad thing. We all know that there are risks involved in smoking, much more so with cigarettes than with cigars, but the risks aren't zero.
Correct.
And so it's important to be able to speak up and say, hey, listen, I know what the risks are. I need to make that decision for myself.
I'm a grown-up. I don't need the government to make that decision for me.
Not have it made for me. Yeah.
Well, here, as we're closing out the segment, I will tell you, the people that want to do smoking bans have got them passed in cities you would think would be weird to get them passed in for one reason only. They spend money. Yeah. They give money to campaigns. Uh-huh. And they sit down there and say, aren't we all the great, you know, protector of the people? Because we're going to tell you right now, smoking's bad for you. Well, we all know that. But this is an adult, because no 16-year-old's trying to buy a $12 cigar. No, I'm sorry. They're just not.
It's just not happening. No. I've spent a lot of time in cigar shops. I have never once seen anyone underage come in and try to get away with buying a cigar.
Never once. I've never walked up to one and had a kid standing outside going, psst, can you buy me a Rocky Patel?
That would be an interesting, like, to do one of those Reefer Madness type movies and have that scene in it. All right, we got to take a break. We will be right back with hour two of the show. Thank you for listening and watching. If you're watching us on video, this is Smoking and Toasting. We'll be right back. Didn't hear anything. Oh, there we go. Second time around.
We needed the second opening.
We got that done. Ian is pouring us some Still Austin whiskey, and I am still excited about it.
I love the double entendre of the name of Still Austin.
Oh, yeah, it's perfect. I love it. While he's pouring that, let me tell you about some cigars to watch for, and then also Trey is going to tell us about some pretty exciting cigars that are about to be available or are available. Are available now. So we'll tell you about that. We'll also tell you there's a new Romeo and Julieta Reserva Nicaragua coming out. It's called the Midnight Twist. Doesn't that sound like a Chubby Checker song? It comes
the
with
Midnight, Let's Twist Again.
Yeah, like we did last summer, baby. Woo!
I think the Midnight Twist was not the PC, version. This is the R version, the Midnight Twist.
Exactly. It's something you'd see on Cinemax.
Yeah.
It comes, however, with the Midnight Twist comes with a notable visual distinction. The twist is that the cigar is made with two wrapper leaves, one dark and one lighter in the barber pole. Although interestingly, these are the barber pole segments are not even. One of them is the darker is really thin, and it kind of wraps around the cigar in a barber pole way. This appeared at both the TPE show in January and the PCA show last month. It has already shipped to retailers, and it's not the first time that Altadis has taken a Romeo and Julieta cigar or Julieta cigar and given it the barber pole treatment. In 2002, they did a twisted version of the Romeo Reserva Real line. But Midnight Twist, you're going to want to check this out because it's a collaboration between Rafael Nadal, who is a very well-respected cigar maker, head of product capability for Tabacalera USA, and some guy you may not have heard of called A.J. Fernandez. And the pair were behind the original Reserva Real Nicaragua line, which, by the way, that's a great cigar. The Reserva Real Nicaragua, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited. Midnight Twist is available in two sizes, a Twisted Toro for $10.92, and the Twisted Love Story for $9.92, which is a perfecto measuring 4 1/4 by 46, so a small perfecto. Excited about that. And Romeo and Julieta are still in the news. They've created cigars for the Kentucky Derby. The 150th running of the Kentucky Derby takes place this year.
Wow.
And it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It takes place on May 4th. It's a cigar-studded affair and in a sanctioned partnership with Churchill Downs, Altadis USA has created a pair of Romeo and Julietas that commemorate this historic event. They are called the Romeo and Julieta 1875 Run for the Roses, and they're offered in two sizes, but you'll need to be in Kentucky to get them. Uh-huh. So if you know anyone in Kentucky and you don't live there, reach out to them, have them see if they can find these for you. The first is the number 3 Toro, and it will retail for $20 each. They've just been released at Liquor Barn stores throughout Kentucky. And then the second format is a 7x50 Churchill with its own slide lid coffin box, and you can only get that at Churchill Downs, which is where the Kentucky Derby is run. So these are very exclusive. I want to tell you about them because if you're interested, if you're like me, you like to get these limited edition things when you can. Contact someone you know that lives in Kentucky and see if they can reach out and do that for you. Ian is making more sound effects, which I take it to mean that he has already begun his research for the Still Austin bourbon.
I'm just going to pass this bottle down.
Yeah?
Go ahead and try it.
Okay.
I can't wait to see your reaction.
Wow.
Like, that is a cinnamon bubblegum bomb.
No kidding.
And it's outrageously good.
It really is. It's got...
It's also really hot.
Yeah. So is this overproofed? I assume it is.
124.2 mm-hmm. proof. Mm-hmm. So coming in at 62.1%.
Yeah, this ain't no 40 proof.
Mm-mm. No, it's big. Nancy the Nose Fraley has long been famous for her peerless ability to detect flavor notes. She's also celebrated in whiskey circles as the first to bring the century-old artisanal French cognac blending methods and élevage to North America whiskey's bourbon production. The bottle of whiskey in your hand has been specially selected from one of the barrels of our whiskey by Nancy herself for having distinctly unique, exceptional quality and flavors.
So, Ian, are you telling me that this whiskey is only about 4 years old?
It says at least 4 years old. Each month, Master Blender Nancy the Nose Fraley searches through her barrels of straight bourbon and selects one she finds exceptionally complex. After that, we simply open up, bottle it at cask strength, meaning the whiskey is bottled same proof at which it was aged, and sell it exclusively in our tasting room. The result is a masterpiece of unique, dark, complex flavors intermingled with surprisingly bright notes and exuberant spice of rye.
This is big. I mean, this is really, really huge bourbon.
It's also, like, we haven't even let you talk yet. I think it's outrageously delicious.
It is. It's big.
Yeah.
I mean, you know you're drinking a cask strength here.
Right. Well,
And I'm not, again, I hate to say it because we just talked about the IPA, but I'm not a big bourbon guy. I'm just not. Because there's a lot of bourbons. The 40-proof bourbons leave that sort of note at the end that are just not my palate.
Right.
The odd thing to say is it's the cask strength that makes this drinkable for me.
Mm.
Because the burn is enough where I'm not getting a big sweet note on the back end.
Right.
And, you know, I'm getting enough of it where you understand this is a bourbon.
There's a sort of a bubblegum sweetness that makes it.
There
makes
is,
you know
but it
bourbon.
Also finishes very mineral, very hard mineral, and I really enjoy that finish.
Which is more like a scotch finish.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. It's really like it tastes very brown. Like it's very like I don't know how else to describe it.
Like when Lewis Black said there's only that NyQuil, it comes in two flavors, red and blue, or red and green, and it's the only thing in the world that tastes like red and green. Yes. It tastes like brown.
Well, my good friend John DeBella in Philadelphia used to say, real men drink brown drinks. And this seems like it would fit that profile very
well. The finish on this to me, because I'm not a big bourbon guy, but a huge rye guy, the finish on this leaves me more like a rye.
Mm-hmm. True.
Not, you know, and
super oaky and spicy.
Yeah.
Definitely some spice. Yeah.
But it doesn't taste like a rye. You still can understand this as a bourbon.
Right.
But that finish, which is what I don't like about bourbons, is really, I love this
it's,
one.
It's just, it's tamped down a bit. Well, and this is one of those things, one of those limited releases. Like I said, a friend of mine lived right around the corner and I asked him to go pick it up because I heard this particular month was incredible. So he went in. It's been months since I got it. This was bottled. This is barrel dumped 12/14/2023. So it's been a few months since they bottled this, and it's been 3 months I think since they had it available and I had to pick it up. So I just got a chance to get it from them last week or 2 weeks ago.
That cinnamon stays on your palate for a very long time.
And it's also astringent. It's a little bit astringent. Like that oakiness is real astringent. It leaves your mouth a little bit dry and wanting that next sip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Doritos effect.
I'd be amazed to see what this does with a little bit of water or
a
piece of
ice. Think it would be wonderful. It would open up.
Yeah, it'd be just
open up
golden. There is
just
more beautiful. Here, gentlemen.
All right, well, that's good to know. I'm also kind of proud of us because on today's show, we've introduced to Trey an IPA that he likes and a bourbon that he likes. And these are not generally your sweet spots. So.
No, correct.
I mean, he was also raving a little bit about our show beer that we had, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. No, the show beer was great.
The Buckle Bunny.
Yeah.
From Eureka Heights. Yeah, yeah, that's a great beer.
I like that one.
That's a Houston staple here.
Absolutely.
Trey, you're holding a very interesting looking box of cigars that's part of Cigars for Warriors' ongoing efforts. Tell me a little bit about what this is, where we can get it, and what is accomplished when we buy one of these.
Perfect. So we created many weeks ago a what we call the Synergy program. Mm-hmm. And we've had two other manufacturers participate. Hiram and Solomon did our very first one.
Oh, cool.
Which was very successful. Caldwell Cigars did our second one. Oscar from Oscar Cigars here in Houston, you know, there's where they're based, did this one. This is our third release under our Synergy program. And just so people know what happens is these cigar manufacturers are so into what we're doing that they donate.
The Cigars for Warriors program.
Right. They donate 100% of their wholesale profit for these limited edition, usually about 1,000 boxes. That limited edition wholesale profit comes to the charity. They make no money.
So this is a box of 10
right.
Toros, Corojo wrapper, that Oscar Valadares blended specially for Cigars for Warriors.
It is a limited edition. When the 1,000 boxes are gone, the 1,000 boxes are gone.
It is beautiful.
And because he has done this basically at cost,
yes,
that gives more profit to Cigars for Warriors, which means more of the money goes to support what you do.
Exactly. We pay our postage when we mail the cigars with the cash that we get in. It's just a wonderful program. The other two previous folks did a tremendous job for us as well. But the Oscar, because it's Oscar, has been a very hot topic on social media. It is one of those things that you're seeing around. 10 cigars, $14 a piece, so $140 a box.
Okay.
And you can only find them at our donation centers.
Oh, so places that have the box.
That participate.
I will
that
be
have
buying one of these. You know, here's the deal. I haven't even tried this cigar yet, but I'll buy it just because it says by Oscar Valadares.
Yeah, because you're a fan.
If you've listened to this show at all, you know that like I love all things Oscar.
Oh, well,
his cigars are so good.
So here's we're going to get nerdy for a minute because I'm an Oscar fan as well. So Oscar gave me a bunch of pre-releases to do at my October event, one that you guys have been to, you know, that we do. And we sold 1,000 sticks at our event, pre-sale, pre-release, pre-release, because it was October of 2023. This just got released in March.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Oscar's telling me, because he came to the event, that he goes, he had just released the 10th anniversary Leaf, that is a tremendous cigar. He goes, I'm glad because, you know, I can't do a Spanish accent, sorry.
No,
but
it's
right. he goes, I'm glad.
Pretend the accent is Spanish.
Yeah. He goes, I'm so glad that we did this cigar for you because it's great. He goes, I like this as much as I like the 10th anniversary.
Wow.
He goes, but I selected tobacco for the 10th anniversary that I could do multiple, you know,
right.
shipments of. This one, this is it. And he was looking at me with, and it was almost like, you know, the Indian in the old commercials in the 70s of Don't Litter, right?
Yeah,
little tear coming down his cheek. Because he loves this cigar. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a Oscar fan and as a cigar smoker, not just because it benefits my charity when stores buy it and you buy it as a retail customer. It is a fantastic cigar.
It is
cigar.
That good.
And
this is what it looks like because you brought us
yeah, the cigar itself looks so awesome.
It really looks delicious. I just, looking at it through the wrapper, I'm like, oh, I can't wait
so
to smoke
it. So the cigar itself looks so beautifully constructed. The cap on it is impeccable. The bands, you have two bands. You have the Cigar for Warriors band that has the logo on there, just like on the front of the box here. And then the rest of the band is camouflage, which I love. And then the other band's the same way, but the Cigar for Warriors tag is a dog tag.
Yeah,
that's,
I love
that's
that.
That's so
it's
cool.
So,
like, it's
so
a beautiful
awesome.
Cigar.
We'd love to get Oscar on the show. Oscar, if you're
I met him
if
one
you're
time.
Listening, we would love to get you on the show.
I met him one time
and
briefly.
Ian's a fanboy. So.
I was at the Big Smoke in Vegas, and I was sitting in a booth at the little bar. I think it was the morning after the Big Smoke, and I was smoking one of the cigars. I got a Big Smoke, and I was kind of I was talking to my wife, and I was like, this cigar. She's like, what are you smoking? I told her, and I was like, it's not very good. Like, it's just not good. I'm kind of telling her the notes I'm getting. And then the guy in the booth behind me turns around. He's like, what are you smoking? And I told him, and he goes, here, try one of these. And it was Oscar Valdez. He just handed me one of his cigars, and it was a 2012. It was fantastic.
yeah, that took care of that that smoking experience for sure. All right, we got to take a break. We will be back momentarily. We still have some Abraxas Imperial Stout to taste, and Drinking News is still around the corner. You are watching and listening to Smoking and Toasting. Mm. Go, Still Austin.
Man, that whiskey's good.
Welcome back. It's Smokin' and Toastin'. Our program is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. We are on show number 377. That's a lot of shows. That's a lot of beers. That's a lot of whiskey. That's a lot of things.
Okay, you got to try this with a little bit of water.
You have this like open mouth look on your face, like holy crap.
You got to try it with a spot of water.
All right, so Ian went and got a bottle of water during the break, and we're gonna try putting just a little bit of water in this Still
Austin. It's still cinnamon bubble gum, but somehow it has a little bit of brownie batter in it now.
Oh, I like brownie batter.
Yeah. All right. It does that.
All right, here you go, Trey. All right, so we're going to... Oh, I can smell the brownie batter on the nose after putting the water in it.
And it still has that beautiful mineral finish.
In fact, if anything, the mineral finish is amplified a little bit because the water takes away just a little bit of the heat, and it allows that flavor to come through a little stronger. Mm, I like this. This is the way to do this one with that.
And it would do the same thing with a bit of ice, but then you'd also get to taste the cold palate as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I am kind of digging that, I will tell you right now. I want to share this with you. It's an interesting article that I found at VinePair. VinePair is a great website.
We end up doing some of their lists and articles pretty often.
Some great lists, and this one I thought was really interesting because it's 10 things that secretly annoy your bartender. And these were pulled off of Reddit, where people are sharing.
So I know we only have 5 minutes left until last call, but can I get 7 lemon drops, please?
I will add that one to the list if it's not on it. First thing on the list is, and these are things that bartenders responded to a Reddit thread. So these are from actual bartenders. Mm.
Can I guess a few before we start?
Sure, go for it.
So know what you want to drink. Mm-hmm. Don't stand there and hem and haw when the bartender's like, can I get to you, especially if they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
Have your payment ready. Let's see, what else? Try not to be a drunken you-know-what.
Yeah, okay, there's that. So the first one on the list is requesting a menu without responding to your service greeting. So the bartender says, hey, how you doing tonight? And you go, could I have a menu, please?
I didn't even think about, basic courtesy.
Yeah, basic courtesy, one would think.
Courtesy.
This one falls under basic courtesy as well. Snatching away a coaster before your bartender sets the drink down. There's a reason the bartender put the coaster there.
Why would you even do that?
Apparently lots of people do it if it's on a list.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Why is there so many people doing that?
Another one that gets the bartender's hair standing up a little bit on the back of their neck. Tossing unwanted garnishes onto the bar top.
Oh, yeah, but that's nice.
Yeah, like the lime or the plopping it on the bar top.
So hold on a second. Can I talk about these first three?
Sure.
So what this list basically consists of, please have basic human decency. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm going to, just to balance the scales here a little bit, I'm going to complain about bartenders, because as a patron, here's my number one complaint about bartenders. And I know why they do this, and I get it, but it's still frustrating when you're a customer. Bartenders have mastered the ability to never make eye contact with you, because if they do, you may ask for something, right? So you're waiting, you're trying to be courteous, and the bartender's going right past you, boom, 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 and they find the most creative ways never to actually look at you because you might ask for something.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you how to fix this.
Okay.
This is tried and true. It works every single time.
Mm-hmm.
When you get your first drink, you introduce yourself to the bartender. If he's hurried, just say, hey, man, what's your name?
See, my wife does that.
All right, now, once you have the bartender's name,
yep.
Then when he doesn't make eye contact, you can go, excuse me, Bill.
Right.
Or whatever his name is.
My wife totally does that.
But let's talk about this. We're talking about basic human decency.
Right.
You don't go like, hey, bartender.
Hey, Bill.
That whole snapping thing or whistling. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I've seen bartenders just get outright righteous when people do that.
Another thing that annoys them, apparently, is asking if there's a bathroom or where the bathroom is. And the article goes on to say that some bars and restaurants that may have a confusing layout, that may be a necessary thing. But if you're just in a little bar and the sign is hanging up there that says restrooms this way, they get kind of annoyed at you asking.
If your bar is long and skinny and there's a hallway in the back, mm-hmm. that's probably where it is.
Most
go there
likely.
First.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen the sign above the bar saying restrooms that way. And you've got the little old lady goes, excuse me, sir, where's the restroom? And you're like, sign.
I don't know, but it's that way. They also get a little annoyed if you put anything but liquid in your drinking glass. They say it might seem like a nice idea, in theory, to clean up your table by putting everything in your glass so it's easier for the wait staff, but this really creates more trouble than it's worth. When your glass is taken back to be washed, then all of the contents have to be emptied out, so filling it up with napkins or wrappers or whatever can make for a
right, because they're putting the ice in one place and the napkins and other garbage in a garbage can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the next one is back to the, I think, common decency thing that you mentioned. Asking if the bar is open when it's slow. Hey, so are you open or what? You know, that's just being a jerk, right?
See, I'll just walk in, and if I see nobody in there, I'll be like, all right, the party's arrived. Let's do this.
Yeah. Now, here's one that will get you banned from smoking and toasting for life. Ordering macro lagers at a craft brewery. It's like going to Eighth Wonder, which I can see from my house, right? And walking in and going, do you guys have Bud Light? That's just wrong.
From Michelob Ultra?
You know, I spent much of my career in radio before I started doing this, right? I was a radio disc jockey and programmer. And I always thought it was interesting. I'd be at parties or something, and you get introduced to someone, and they go, so what do you do? And I would go, oh, yeah, I'm in radio. And it always amazed me how the first thing out of their mouth was so often, oh, I don't listen to the radio. It's like, well, maybe you don't. But why did you just have to diss my whole profession? It's like going to a party and you meet somebody and they go, you go, oh, what do you do? And they go, oh, I work for Coca-Cola. And you're like, oh, I like Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
It's that you're just being a jerk there. So maybe this is the same.
Oh, you know what
thing.
I get? Yeah. You're a musician? You actually make a living like that?
Oh, yeah.
Or better yet, what's your other job?
That was me that asked you that, though. So.
Oh, well, that was you.
Another thing that bothers the bartenders. I love this one. Over enunciating the T in Tito's. So if you say, they say, you know, petty annoyance indeed, but the vodka brand is called Tito's, not Tito's.
Tito's.
Okay. It Tito's. Depends on how many Tito's have you had to drink.
That could be. Complaining about prices makes the list, and requesting the bartender alter a drink on the menu for your specific likes or dislikes will also get you in trouble with the bartender.
Make me an old fashioned with, like, you know, vodka.
Can I? Yeah. There you go. You can just order a custom drink, though.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the bartender's not slammed busy.
Right. That's
so that's
thing.
A part of it, too, is how busy is your bartender? And then just because Bill. There's not a ton of people, if you're at a restaurant grill kind of area place, just because your bartender's not doesn't have, you know, a ton of people in front of him doesn't mean he's not slamming drinks for the tables, too.
That's
you know?
True, because he may be, you know, mm-hmm. taking the orders from the waitresses that are serving.
I mean,
the
this list yeah. really boils down to basic human decency. Come on, people.
It really does. And you think if people would just kind of lean a little more into that area, so many of these things would,
you know, one of my favorites. I was at a bar here in Houston called Poison Girl, and Poison Girl is one there. Of the premier whiskey bars mm-hmm. in town. Like
lots
if you want
of whiskeys.
There's lots of whiskeys, great whiskeys. this story's going to have to hold because we're going to run out of time.
But. Well, then that's okay. Hold it for the next segment. But I will just mention Poison Girl, also an amazing song.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Amazing, amazing song. In fact, I got to write it down. Now I have to go listen to that after the show. That is an amazing piece of music. All right, we will take a break, and we will be right back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Oh, and Drinking News is next. Welcome back, my friends. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. And we do have drinking news coming your way in a moment. But first, I just want to mention that Ian has just opened the bottle of Abraxas, which is from Perennial Artisan Ales. And it is our final beer today. And it shares a name with one of my all-time favorite albums, Abraxas, the second and arguably best studio album by Latin rock band Santana, was released on September 23rd, 1970 by Columbia Records. It became the band's first album to reach number one in the United States.
Also, I believe it was the first album to feature the Mesa Boogie amplifier.
I believe it may be. Maybe
Carlos which he Santana. Named Boogie.
Yeah.
Mesa Engineering had an amp, and they developed a way to cascade the preamp tubes one into the other to create that sound. Well, and he said, man, this amp really boogies. So they put Mesa/Boogie on it.
Well, Carlos Santana, in my opinion, is one of the most underrated guitarists of all time.
Oh, yeah.
This album, Abraxas, was included in the book, 1001 Albums You Must Hear Before You Die.
Yeah.
And in 2015, Abraxas was deemed culturally, historically, or artistically significant by the Library of Congress and was selected for preservation in their National Recording Registry. It contains two of Santana's biggest hit singles, Black Magic Woman and Oye Como Va. Mm-hmm. And the title of the album originates from a line in Hermann Hesse's 1919 book, Demian. It's quoted on the album's back cover. We stood before it and began to freeze inside from the exertion. We questioned the painting, berated it, made love to it, prayed to it. We called it mother, called it whore and slut, called it our beloved, called it Abraxas. Mm. So now think about this beer that you're gonna be that you're gonna be trying there. Yeah.
The artwork on here is always fantastic. Well, Perennial does those.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what this actually is. It's an imperial stout, but it's got a lot going on.
Imperial stout with ancho chilies, cacao nibs, cinnamon, and vanilla.
And I will just tell you, I'm normally not all that fond of things that have chilies in my beer. But Perennial Artisan Ales, these guys are so good, I'm willing to try this. And I was willing to spend quite a bit of money on that bottle, actually. Because it was not
cheap.
Have you tasted it already?
We are winning today with the drinks. Like, this is...
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
That really is good, and the chilies don't bother me.
No.
No, the chilies are there. They actually offer, like, on the very back of the palate, there's a tiny little bit. But the chilies there, I think, kind of center everything. They kind of make everything a little earthy.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
But right. Chocolate.
We're going to, the chocolate is outrageous. We're going to continue to talk about this, but I better get into drinking news so we have time to complete it in this segment because we saved the biggest beer and the biggest segment for this particular. Well, it's time for drinking news.
Drinking news, drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news. Drinking news, drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news. A Florida man with one arm said he had a gator for a pet. When asked about his absent arm, he said,
Now, Trey, I didn't prepare you for this in advance, and I apologize, but would you mind filling in the blank here and saying, I had to take my gator to the vet?
When asked about his absent arm, he said,
I gotta take my gator to the vet.
Drinking news, drinking news. Now it's time for drinking news.
Well, the sad part is you replace Florida with Louisiana, and it could be one of my relatives. I mean, that's...
and Oklahoma enters the picture as well. In today's drinking news, we're going to talk about obsessions, specifically kids' obsessions. Now, as anyone with children, or who even knows someone with children, could probably attest, kids, as they grow up, and Terry, you're a father. You know this, I'm sure, right? They go through phase after phase of being completely obsessed with one thing or another.
Oh, yeah.
The case could be made that a child's obsession is, although bordering on maniacal, in most cases rather innocent and even sweet.
Yeah.
Kids get obsessed with all kinds of things. Is Pokemon still a thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Sometimes.
I know that at one point during the peak of the Pokemon obsession, I walked through the park by my house and noticed that almost every single person, mostly kids, were walking through the park staring at their phone screens. Surrounded by a gorgeous park that cost the city millions of dollars to build and maintain, and it seemed like not a single one of them were admiring the park's beauty.
What was that, Pokemon Go or something?
Yeah, they were all glued to their phones looking for Pokemon. Or is it Pokemon?
Look at that one. It's right out in the middle of the street.
Yeah. go get it. But as I said, kids become obsessed with all kinds of things, whether it's dinosaurs, unicorns, horses, princesses, Legos. You get the picture, right? Some little boys become obsessed with touching themselves and playing with their privates. If I'm going to be honest, that's one that most of us never quite outgrow. But that's not important right now. What is important?
Subject for another time.
For today's drinking news story.
That was far from Thomas the Tank Engine.
Is the obsession of a young boy that wound up playing havoc with his entire family, causing them to lose sleep and maybe even ultimately lose the young boy's college fund. Ooh. It all started.
It's not called a glass bottom boat, is it?
No. It all started when an Oklahoma man.
Oklahoma man.
I thought maybe you were going to do something from Oklahoma, the musical. But that's okay. It all started with an Oklahoma man, a 36-year-old dentist named Cameron Clifford, decided to finally indulge his 9-year-old son's ongoing obsession and get him what he wanted ever since he was 3. The Oklahoma man told the New York Times every birthday, every Christmas, every holiday, the boy would always say, "All I want is an octopus."
See, I was thinking dog, but okay. Yeah. Octopus.
Hey, look, at least that's kind of cool. I mean, if he'd been from Florida, he probably would have asked for a gator. So at least there's that, right?
Well, there is that.
Now, I don't know if you've seen the show on Netflix called My Octopus Teacher. But if you haven't, go watch it right now because it's beautiful and wondrous and even life-changing.
I've
and
heard
I'm
of that.
Not kidding about that.
I've heard of that.
You got to see it. But back to the Cliffords. As our Oklahoma man's son's Cal's 9th birthday was approaching, the father made a call to a local aquarium store about acquiring a female California 2-spot octopus for the boy's birthday gift. Now, Clifford says that when he told his son that they could order an octopus from the local aquarium store, the 9-year-old immediately burst into tears. His ultimate dream, his cloud nine, the greatest thing that could ever possibly happen in one's life, had just become a possibility, and he just broke down, Clifford said. My friends and family, of course, as you probably imagine, all said to me, "Well, now you have to get it for him. You can't just dangle that in front of him and then turn around and just flatline that whole dream, right?" So the father and son began preparing for the arrival of the pet octopus, which they named Terrence.
Of course.
Clifford ordered a saltwater tank, a water cycling system, and food supplies for Terrence, mostly from Facebook Marketplace, and he thought it would cost around $600. But what the family didn't realize at first was that Terrence was actually a female who started releasing, and I'm quoting them here, a chandelier of little eggs about 2 months after it arrived. Now, they were told by experts that the eggs were unfertilized, and the release of eggs only signals the beginning of the final part of the female octopus lifespan. So no problem, right? Except that one night in February, Clifford picked up an egg and was absolutely shocked. "I accidentally popped it," he said, "and this droplet comes out and spreads out these tiny tentacles and does 3 swim strokes across my viewpoint." Terrence, the octopus, ended up hatching a total of 50 babies.
Well, let's talk about the financials here. Now, how much money did he pay for Terrence?
I don't know.
Because that sounds like a pretty good return on investment, right?
Who had already apparently hooked up with Philip before he got there.
That's funny. That's very funny. Well, in the words of our Oklahoma man, all bets were off. The family had to arrange 50 different separated homes for the unexpected offspring, spend thousands and thousands of dollars on clams, crabs, and snails, not to mention the cost to repair the damage to the house from spilled water and a small electrical fire. I'm not kidding. Speaking of one particularly messy incident, Clifford said, I wish I wouldn't have opened that valve that way and dumped all that dirty seawater onto my kid's white carpet. Two months after hatching, half of the babies are still alive, an astonishingly high survival rate, higher than the average. Clifford says, every scientist I speak to is always kind of astonished by the fact that we were able to get such a high yield in a kid's bathroom. And Terrence, by the way, Clifford reports that she's still alive. In the meantime, the family has become a bit famous, too, as Clifford has amassed nearly 400,000 followers on TikTok.
So hold on. So now we have a new Octomom.
Nearly 400,000 followers on TikTok showing and telling the story of Terrence and her plethora of babies. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I would have had the decency to turn my apartment into an octopus's garden in the shade. How would you go about getting rid of 50 baby octopi? I mean, you could flush them down the toilet, I guess, but that somehow seems like the plot of a bad B movie where they flourish and grow in the sewers and then come back loaded for bear looking for the guy that so callously flushed them in the first place and wreaking havoc on the city. I have to admit, I might pay money to see a film called Steven Seagal versus the Killer Octopuses. And don't get any ideas, by the way. I've already registered the domain name. When Hollywood comes calling, it's going to cost them dearly to buy that website name from me. And by the way, I also registered 8armstoholdyou.com and tentaclesofdeath.com. You know, just in case.
Nice.
But if bringing home an octopus that winds up giving birth to a consortium of babies.
Reaching out to you.
And by the way, consortium is what you call a group of baby octopuses. I looked it up. Having your house become a birthing center for eight-legged creatures is not the worst thing that can happen. I mean, it could be worse, right? Of course it could. So as an unrequested service to you, the listener, here at Drinking News, we put together a comprehensive, and I must say quite alarming, list of the top five things that could be worse than bringing home a pregnant octopus. Top five things worse than bringing home a pregnant octopus. Number five. Bringing home Nadia Suleiman, the Octomom. You got that one earlier.
Yeah, right.
Number four, adopting a puppy with irritable bowel syndrome. And number three, bringing home one of those hairless cats.
No.
Because those things are freaky and probably
evil.
Do
you really want to pet them?
Mr. Beagle's
work. Instead of your hands sliding smoothly down the hair, it just goes.
Storm Bowen, the chairman of Cigars for Warriors, has one of those creepy cats.
Yeah, there's.
It shows up on Zoom calls. It's weird.
And scares the crap out of everybody when it does. I've heard, by the way, that there's a guy that you can hire that has a hilarious donkey. And he will crash your Zoom call, like to create, you know. But that's not important right now. We're talking about the top five things worse than bringing home a pregnant octopus. Number two, bringing home a gerbil that once belonged to Richard Gere. And the number one thing worse than bringing home a pregnant octopus. Number one, adopting a baby. Only to find that the real parents were Snooki and Kanye West. Reporting live from Oklahoma, where I'm wondering what happens when all these baby octopuses get old enough to start laying their own legs. Own eggs.
There's a lot of legs, too.
Sorry, I was confused because I'm also strangely hungry for some fried calamari. My name is Cruz, and that is your...
Drinking news. That's our time for drinking news.
Cheers, y'all.
By the way, whiskey and beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whiskey and beer. It sounds like a song, doesn't it?
Whiskey and beer.
So you're going back and forth between the Abraxas and the...
And the Still Austin.
Still Austin, yeah. What do you think?
Mm.
Give us some...
So first off, the Abraxas is so good.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to. I was worried because of the chilies. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I almost didn't buy this.
You said that before the show, too. The you were like, I'm still not sure of that. Yeah.
But it really is good. The chilies do not get in the way. The heat from the chilies doesn't overpower everything else. You get all of these other flavors.
It's interesting. It just adds an earthy kind of note to it. Doesn't really, there's a tiny bit of tiniest little bit of that spice in the back of the throat.
Yes, but it's not.
But
it's not
so small. It's not distracting. It actually is somewhat
and
additive.
The cacao is wow. Yeah. I mean, it is just so.
Yeah, the cacao is huge.
Trey, is this in your wheelhouse in terms of?
Oh, absolutely. Flavors? This is what I usually enjoy is a beer like this. And
this is what Ian likes.
I would drink this floating down the river.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no problems with that.
It depends on how hot it is, but I'm older than you, so.
So going back to the whiskey.
Yeah, so when you go back and forth, it's pretty interesting because it takes out a little bit of the sweetness in the whiskey.
It sure does.
But the whiskey's still quite good. And when you go back from the whiskey to the beer, it makes the beer taste more like a chocolate coffee bomb.
Wow, it really does. This is an exceptionally good stout. And
again, it does, however, bring out some of the vanilla in the whiskey that wasn't quite as obvious.
Well, again, the perennial artists and ales people, these guys really know what they're doing. They really do.
Thank you guys for having me today. It's been wonderful and always good to share whiskey, beer, and time with you guys.
And we will wrap things up when we come back. This is Smoking and Toasting. Our program is all about craft beer, fine spirits, hand-rolled cigars, and lots of baby octopuses. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Smoking and Toasting. Our show is all about craft beer, fine spirits, and hand-rolled cigars. And I'm curious, because I actually don't know the answer to this. I wonder if either of you
I was
do.
Young. I needed the money.
Okay. It's always good that you can
clarify. That's not the question.
That was a different question, yeah. Are calamari and octopuses... Are those the same thing?
I think calamari is actually squid.
Yeah.
Calamari is a squid.
Yeah, it's a squid. Yeah. Like the time Bart ordered squid, and he said, I'll take it with extra tentacles. And then they brought it to the table, and he turned green.
Okay, love it. Well, I also love me some calamari. But I've had, octopus, dishes before, too, that were quite good. So. Yeah. All right, so thanks for clearing that up for me. I appreciate it. I was confused. Dominican cigar maker Quesada Cigars is celebrating their 50th anniversary with, you won't believe this, a 50th anniversary cigar.
How unique.
Yeah. The Quesada 50th anniversary is already shipping to retailers. Comes in two sizes, a Toro Prensado measuring 6 1/4 by 56. That's about a $17 cigar. And a 6x60 Perfecto, which is a $19 cigar. These are made in the Dominican Republic. The cigar consists of an Ecuador Habano wrapper, a Nicaraguan binder, and a mix of Dominican, Nicaraguan, and Peruvian filler. Both are packaged in boxes of 10 and limited to 2,200 boxes of the Toro Prensado and only 200 boxes of Perfecto.
I have to get used to the fact that in today's financial climate, that the $20 bill is the new $5 bill.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
And the $100 bill is today's
20. Yeah.
It's just,
wow. I'll scare you even more. If you have a $100 bill in your pocket and a $20 bill in your pocket, there are many shops you go into, you're broke. Because if you do not have plastic, you can't buy anything.
You can't even spend them.
And I'll go one further. Have any of you been at a topless bar lately and had the stripper kind of scoff at you for tipping her a dollar?
That could be a thing.
I haven't. I was just.
You must be going to those classy bars.
I was just, wondering if it had limbs happened and to stuff. You.
That's so I always chuckle because my stories about the strip clubs are very honest. And as a 17-year-old kid, my father owned a pawn shop in League City, Texas.
Well, there you go.
And about that time, there's a famous Dickinson strip club that opened up called Heartbreakers.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a 17-year-old kid.
Not that I know anything about that place.
And every Saturday morning,
the hookers,
my apologies.
Yeah.
The dancers come in and are talking about, hey, how much is this ring worth? Some idiot gave it to me last night. So I saw behind the curtain.
Oh, yeah.
And I can honestly tell you, other than being drugged there for a bachelor party.
With the lights on, not so much.
I have never been an active participant at strip clubs. because I've seen behind the curtain.
Right.
They hold no allure for me.
You've seen them come in on a Saturday morning
selling you the wares of the guys that fell in love with them the night before.
Yeah, but see, it wasn't a guy that saw behind the curtain. It was a guy that wanted to see under the bra.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Sorry, does the curtain match the
pubes?
Yeah, yeah, I hear it. That's a,
no carpeting.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that, but it's an honest story.
That's a bare floor. What's happening here?
This is a really outstanding Imperial Stout.
Yes.
I'm
that was an awesome redirection. Yes, yeah. It is fantastic.
You notice me stepping in trying to
it's not that kind of show.
It's like herding cats here on the Smoking and Toasting show. No, but this really is a good Imperial Stout.
The cacao is so upfront. It's drinking. This is like the best hot chocolate you've ever had. That's actually cold.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Well, that's a good way to put it because the chili in here to me is almost like a ground up chili, not a like biting into a pepper.
Right,
flavor.
Right. It's barely there too.
Right. It's great,
and it does have that like the flavor that chocolate, but it has more of that Abuelita chocolate milk flavor that has that cinnamon in it than just the regular
like a Mexican
Swiss
hot
Miss.
Chocolate.
Yeah, it's the Abuelita chocolate. Yeah.
The Mexican hot chocolate,
which reminds me of the first episode of Better Call Saul, where Tico or whatever the guy's name is, he disrespected my abuelita. It's like the greatest line ever. He gets all bent out of shape because. Anyway, I don't know where that came from.
This is the part of the show where everything falls apart.
You got to remember, we've had beers and whiskey and. For quite some time now.
Yeah.
A little secret on the show, when the beers are really good, they get finished.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's good. Now, that being said, we do practice some sort of safety because we don't bring like a bottle of Abraxas for each of us. We are splitting these.
We're sharing, and that's important.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking.
Just out of curiosity, what did this cost you? This had to be an expensive bottle.
I think it was about $45.
Yeah, this is outrageous. Yeah. Now, this is the same volume as a bottle of wine, so it wouldn't be that much different than.
You wouldn't think that much. I mean, I certainly don't buy a $45 bottle of wine every day.
Right.
But you wouldn't think it that weird to spend $45 on a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got two buddies right now. I'm going to go try to find that bottle. I'll spend the $45. The three of us will split it. And be very happy with the money I spent.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And that's the way you drink these, though. These bombers,
meant
like
to
especially,
be shared. Yeah,
meant to be shared and meant to be because you know you can't cap it.
Right, yeah, right. You're not gonna. Put,
well, actually,
gonna
to
put
be honest with you, this one doesn't have enough carbonation to matter that much. You might be able to just refrigerate that for a few days and not lose much. Mm-hmm. Although the oxygen will denigrate the liquid.
It's going to be best when you first open.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I will mention that we talked before the show started today about recording a promo for each week's show where we go, hey, it's Ian and it's Cruz, and here's what we're going to talk about on today's Smoking and Toasting show, plus their drinking news teaser headline or whatever. And when we were discussing that, I was thinking, you know, maybe we should do that like at the end of the show, but I'm thinking that's probably not a good idea.
We may have learned a lesson. Maybe we do that before the show.
Maybe we do that before the show.
Oh, no. The end's going to be much more fun to do a promo. It's going to be way more fun. I'm all about the end show promo.
Okay. Good to know, Terry. Thank you. Well, you know, this is so much fun to do. Trey, thank you so much for coming on the show again today. We're so happy to have you on at any time. And by the way, we are talking about, as Ian mentioned earlier, trying to maybe go out to the cigar ring, the smoke ring, I'm sorry,
smoke ring.
And do a maybe do a show out there, smoke some of your Cigars for Warriors cigars, and you should totally come and podcast.
Those guys are always super supportive of you. They do events for you and everything like that.
We do an annual one. We finished our 10th anniversary in 2023.
Well,
it was 10 years. So 11th year is already going to be on the calendar sometime late October.
Nice.
So you guys come down and we'll do it.
100%. We will 100% cover that.
And you should totally come and podcast the show at the Smoke Ring. Alan Denny does this on a regular basis, and we've never held him accountable. And so by the same token, we won't do that to you. So
sounds good.
So, yeah. I really enjoy the shows where we get to go out and smoke. Just to be honest, that kind of brings the whole thing home.
It does. And we've streamlined our recording of those too, to where they're They work every time, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, if you go back to the early days, we were basically on a one camera situation.
When we had to basically stream everything live. Mm-hmm. Things got weird, but now we're pre-recording. It comes out really nice, so it's a lot less effort.
Ian, I want to thank you for bringing in this whiskey. This is a really, really excellent whiskey from Still Austin.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to go and check these guys out.
I will tell you right now, that bottle was $90. Mm-hmm. It was worth every penny. It's that kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I got to figure you could, dilute enough glasses of it with water to make that $90 last.
It's pretty hot.
A long
time. Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Because with a splash of water, it was even better.
But when I get home, it's going to get a piece of ice. We're going to see how that does. I bet it's amazing.
I am excited to see what you say about that.
When you guys plan to be down in my neck of the woods here in Houston and doing a recording there, let me know.
Okay.
Because Copper Sky, which is a distillery out of Colorado, did a whiskey that supports Cigars for Warriors.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I may or may not have a bottle because it's not available in Texas. But I may or may not have a bottle that we could open.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so consider that on the calendar.
Yes. And I know you've been here and you've been like doing the show with us, but I'm going to write that down. And so when you go, wait, I don't remember saying that, I'm going to be like, oh, it's right here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, it's recorded. We'll have it in the show. That's fine. Right. I'll just cut that part out so we can send it to him.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, Trey, thank you again. And thank you for all that you do, not just with Cigar Rights of America. That almost goes without saying. But with Cigars for Warriors, I can't think of a charity other than maybe some animal charities that I think are as deserving of people's support as
Thank you.
It's just such a cool and awesome and wonderful thing. And if people want to sign up, Ian signed up for a year. It was $25.
Yeah, and I did it. It took the time between one of our segments, which would have been close to about the commercial time that you guys had in between this. If you're watching it on, it took me 3 minutes.
So just Google Cigar Rights of America.
Dude, I got cigar and then R-I-G and it popped up as an option.
It's actually scary how much Google knows about us, you know. I can type in T and it goes topless women. I don't know why that happened. I don't know where it came from. Have a great week, everybody. I'm just kidding, of course. Have a wonderful week, kind of, sort of. And enjoy a fine beverage like we are. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, y'all. It's all right when it's okay.